It started? Okay. Okay, so you put it on call waiting. What does that mean? Nobody could call in or they...
Right.
Oh, I see. But what if a guy wants... You mean... Is everybody there? Everybody's there. Anyways, let's see. Okay, so we... I think we were like right by... Just tell me if you have a problem hearing. Otherwise, I'm just going to continue like this. So the thing is, we left off. Oh, the last thing we left off was that the Rambam says it's on Kuf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, right in the Kapach, and the Rambam was talking about that the Tainuga son of Shem, spiritual enjoyment in the next world, right, is different than our enjoyment. It is eternal. It has no end. Right, that was one thing he said, that it's eternal. And the other thing he said was that it's qualitatively different, right? So that we explained why the fact that it's infinite, why does that make it qualitatively different? So we said because it doesn't mean infinite that it just goes on in time. It means it's outside of time. So therefore, anything that's outside of time is qualitatively different than something that exists within the physical world. Okay? So that we made the comparison, just like we say God is eternal, it doesn't mean that he's in time, but he just lasts forever. It means he's doesn't partake of time at all. Okay, so that's a different kind of eternal. All right? Okay, so that was that. Then, right? Okay. So I guess let's continue further in the Rambam. Okay? So let's start from Vadavar Kain. Okay, it's like halfway down that last paragraph on the last column. Vadavar kein, lefi she'anu ba'olam gufani, we exist in the physical world. V'lo nuchal lahasig elatay nugav, and we're only able to comprehend or to enjoy its enjoyments. Aval tainugas hanafshim, but the enjoyments of the nefesh are tamidim bilti nifsakim, are eternal, infinite. Ein beinam ubein elu hatanugos shum yachas. No relationship between that kind of enjoyment and the kind of enjoyment we have. It's qualitatively different. Ve'ei nachon lanu. Okay, nice as it is. Ve'ei nachon lanu l'fi ha-Torah v'lo eitzel ha-lokim min ha-filosofim. Lomar shahamalachim v'hakalchavim v'hagalgalim ein lehem tainik. Okay? Eliyesh lehem tainik gadol ma'od b'mashi hiskilu min habor yisadav yisromam. Okay, so what does the Rambam say? So he says, ein nachal, it's not right, l'fi ha-Torah, according to the Torah, v'lo eitzel, and not, elokim means metaphysics. Okay, the people with knowledge of metaphysics from the philosophers, it's not right that either of those groups should say that Malachim and Kochavim and Gagalim have no Tainuk. But on the contrary, their enjoyment is Gadol Ma'od. Okay? So, what's any questions? What's the... Is there anything to discuss here?
Am I Margaret?
Yes.
From last time, the question of, like, why do you still call it an enjoyment if it's something totally different?
Why what?
Why are you still calling it an enjoyment if it's something that's totally different?
Okay. That's your question?
What?
That's your question? You mean you're asking?
Yes.
Okay. Why is he calling it enjoyment if it's qualitatively different? Okay. What do you say?
Why can't you just talk about the other type of pleasure, non-physical? It's talking about non-physical pleasure.
Not physical pleasure, but what he's saying is, if the Rambam saying is qualitatively different,
then why is he even
calling it enjoyment? Why is he calling it pleasure?
Because it's still pleasure.
It's still pleasure. In other words, there's two ways you could use the term qualitatively different. He doesn't mean qualitatively different like the difference between a table and man. You know, that's two totally different objects. Qualitatively different here, he means that it partakes of a much greater reality, so therefore you can, there's no way for you to experience that pleasure, and it's something, it is a pleasure, okay, but since it is a much greater, partakes of a much greater reality that we can't experience, we can never experience that pleasure. But it doesn't mean it's not pleasure. Okay, it means it's something that there's no way for you to actually experientially know. Okay? Yeah.
Is it an experiential pleasure?
It's a pleasure, yes, an experiential pleasure. That's right. But it's nothing that we could really have any kind of experience or knowledge. We could have knowledge of it, but experientially we can't know it. But it's not, he doesn't mean qualitatively different. He means it's qualitatively better. Okay? He doesn't mean it's qualitatively different, like it's an object that is not, that doesn't even partake of pleasure. That's not what he means. Okay? He means that since it stems from a totally different kind of experience, you can't, there's no way for you to relate to that through the faculties that you have. Okay? But he explains a little further later on. He says that once a person knows that kind of pleasure, then he'll look back and realize that the pleasures we have are so inferior. He means it's a superior pleasure. In that sense, it's qualitatively different. Like, you know what I mean? It's a superior pleasure. Okay? But he doesn't mean qualitative that it's not enjoyment, that it's a different category of things. It just means it's superior. Okay? The only reason why I say qualitatively is because, you know, in other words, it doesn't mean it's superior that it lasts longer. Let's put it that way. Or that it's, you're just adding more of the same thing. You know what I mean? It's not a greater pleasure, like a pleasure of a person enjoys one kind of food, but now you give them a food that's much greater enjoyment. He doesn't mean in that sense. You know what I mean? That's like the enjoyment lasts longer. It's more, it has more dimensions. You know what I'm saying? It's not it's not just greater in that sense, but it's greater. It's a different quality. It's like the Rambam explains later. Like when a person enjoys, let's say, playing in the street. A kid enjoys playing ball in the street, and then as he gets older, he develops other enjoyments. Like he can enjoy the idea of honor. Or he can enjoy. Then he becomes acquainted with money, so he runs after that enjoyment. And playing ball is, you know what I mean, nothing to him. So that's a new quality. That's what it means. It means playing ball is a physical enjoyment, and running after money is not a physical enjoyment. It's a mental enjoyment. They're both enjoyments, but there's a new dimension. There's a new quality there. It's not just greater. It's not just more athletics. It's a new quality. Okay, but it's still enjoyment. In the next world, it's enjoyment. The only thing is, there's a new quality added that a person has no way of relating to in this world.
It's so, you're saying it's a type of psychological enjoyment?
No, I didn't say it's psychological. It's a new dimension, there's a new quality there, but I'm just giving a mushel between a physical enjoyment and a psychological enjoyment. Those are two things. One has a different quality than the other has, but they're both enjoyments. So the same thing, in the next world, there's a new dimension, a new quality, but it's still an enjoyment. Okay?
Nothing to do with the psyche, though.
What's that? No, nothing to do with the psyche. Right, because that the Rambam explains that the moment the person dies, the psychological goes with him. That's part of his physical makeup, is his psyche.
Right.
Okay?
So if a person enjoys Sakuma in this world that has no relationship towards this type of enjoyment that he's describing?
The enjoyment is not the same, but a person who has a relationship, in order for a person to partake of that enjoyment, he has to have an enjoyment of Chachma in this world. Okay? So your question, you're asking, why is that? If they're two different enjoyments, why do I have to enjoy Chachma in this world? Why do I have to be drawn to Chachma in this world in order to get the enjoyment in the next world if that's a totally different enjoyment?
Right.
Right? Okay. But that...
Two different things.
Right, but that we explained that's the idea of the connection between a person's soul, his, when I say soul, it means the part of the intelligence, okay, that can't be located. It's not physical intelligence, it's a non-physical intelligence. That part of him, right, is, there's a relationship between that part of him and the body. You see, in this world, that part is tied somehow to the body. There's a connection there. You see, so that we explained that connection, you see, that like when a person thinks of an idea, he needs some kind of concrete example to come up with the idea. Even though the idea is not really concrete. Theoretically, he shouldn't need to see many objects to bring to mind the idea of number. Or when a person thinks of a number, he always associates a certain physical image with it, right? So that's because in this world, the soul is tied in its function to the physical. So he always needs a physical reminder. That has to do with how the soul functions in this world. Okay, so the soul is only able to function in this world through the physical means, through the psychological, through the mental. It's only able to function. Okay, but when the soul does function, it has a function. You see, now if the soul does not function in this world, that's it. It does not continue into the next world. That's it, because the soul is basically his the part of him that partakes of the non-physical, of the ideas, is not active. So therefore, that's it. Okay? So that's why in order for the person to have the enjoyment in the next world, the soul must be fully engaged. Okay? And if it's not engaged in this world, that's it. Okay? But in this world, it has to work through the physical. In the next world, it could work on its own. Okay?
Right. Okay.
Alrighty? Yeah.
I'm not sure I quite maybe I missed this. I'm not sure I quite understand though. In terms, we can't really relate to anything outside of physical.
Yeah.
So for instance, an enjoyment. I mean, I guess any word you're going to use to describe an experience that we are familiar with is going to have an undertone of, or not undertone. It's describing a physical thing. So I would understand if you said I just can't explain anything about the next world. But why would you call it? Still, I'm not sure why he's calling it an enjoyment, because I mean, normally enjoyment, pleasure is in terms of like the good, and even like your psyche, I'm still rooted in the physical. So anywhere you're going to use, you're going to. I'm not sure I'm being clear, but.
Okay, well, let me just put it in this terms. In other words, when we say enjoyment, right? An enjoyment has an object, right? Enjoyment, let's say, of food, right? So there are two things there. When I say I enjoy food, I'm saying two things. I'm saying I enjoy, and there's an object of the enjoyment, right? There's the pleasure, and then there's the object of the pleasure, right? So those are two different things, right? Pleasure, and what is the object of the pleasure? So in this world, you have pleasure, and the object is always physical, right? But the pleasure is not identical with the object. You don't say pleasure must be physical since the object is physical. Pleasure is there's an idea in the mind of pleasure. Okay? And what the pleasure is of is physical. But what he's saying is that in the next world, the pleasure will be of a different thing. Okay? It's of something non-physical. So the object of the pleasure changes. Now what he's saying is when the object of the pleasure changes, that pleasure is superior in a totally new superiority. Just like when a person enjoys food and then he finds there's a new kind of pleasure of let's say honor, right? The object of the pleasure now is a different thing, a totally different, it's psychological. It's not physical, right? The object of the pleasure changes, and because the object of the pleasure changes, the pleasure now takes on a totally new superior quality. Okay, so he's saying the same thing in the next world. We never sense that kind of pleasure, but it's the same exact thing. You're going up now to, you're choosing a different object, and this object affords a qualitatively greater pleasure. I mean, maybe, you know, if you want to change the word, it doesn't matter. You could say greater pleasure quantitatively. I'm just trying to get away from the idea that it's not like more of the same thing you have here, it's a greater thing. But if it's easy for you to understand quantitatively greater pleasure, that's fine too. It's a much greater pleasure. You could say quantitative, it doesn't matter. As long as you have the idea that it doesn't mean it's still a psychological pleasure. You know what I mean? The object of the pleasure is different, and that object, when the object is the ideas, then the pleasure that the person receives is much greater. And when he would see that great pleasure, he'd never even want any other pleasure aside from that. You know what I mean? Just like the Rambam gives an example, when a king becomes king, he doesn't think, when he remembers when he used to play ball in the street, he has no use for it. It's simply to him, that's a zero. It's like nothing. It's not even a pleasure. So the same thing the Rambam says. In the next world, the greatness of the pleasure that a person gets will be such that he'll look at these pleasures like nothing. Okay, but it's still pleasure. Okay?
Thanks.
All right.
Markowitz?
Yeah.
How is it possible for the planets to have Tanug if they are also physical objects? Because the whole reason that we couldn't have it was because we are physical.
Right, the planets that we don't have that kind, we don't have that. He had a different system of knowledge that was based on the Greek system. I don't know that system. Okay, I don't know what the ideas behind that are, but that was based on the metaphysics of the time or the physics of the time. Okay, but that's the whole system changed, so that's no longer, you know, that no longer applies. So I can't really, you know, I don't understand how that works. Okay, so I think for the purposes of our investigation, we should confine ourselves to, you know, the Malachim. Okay? Okay.
Marvelous?
Yeah.
What is pleasure that we could say that is happening in both cases?
Okay, he's going to go into that. Okay? Right now, basically. Okay, so you're in the right direction. All right? So now, this is exactly what he's saying right here. Okay? Now, what do we have here? So he says that, Ein nacham lanu lefi haTorah v'lo eitz elokim. It is not proper for us who have knowledge of Torah or the metaphysicians. So, before you get any further, you know, to say, right, that he's saying it's not proper for us to think that the Malachim do not have a pleasure, okay? But before you get to that, so what's that division there? He's saying, Lefi HaTorah or Lefi HaPhilosophim? Why is he saying two groups? Why is he splitting it up based on Lefi HaTorah and Lefi the metaphysicians? What's the purpose of that?
I don't understand what he's saying. He's saying that even if you can't say it according to the Torah and you can't say it according to the philosophers.
That's right. That Malachim do not have enjoyment.
Okay.
Right. So why is he bringing two groups? Why is he subdividing? What's the subdivision? What's that? Okay. Okay. So, okay, what are you saying?
So, meaning, without the Torah, if you were like just like on some island and you were just without water.
You're saying what he means by the philosophers?
Right, yeah.
Okay. So, philosophers means through rational thought. Right?
Isn't Torah also rational thought?
Right.
Okay, so what about Torah? Right, okay, but in this case you would know because he says this, a philosopher could come to this truth that the stars, that the Malachim have enjoyment. So you can know you know this without Nevuah, just through rational thought.
Right.
So why say the Torah?
Well, because isn't it that there's certain areas of rational thought that are closed off philosopher just because he never has any knowledge of the Torah?
Why don't they just say Torah?
What?
Why don't they just say Torah then?
Yeah.
Well, is this an area that a person that is closed off, then he can't include the then he should just say right. That's what you're saying. Then he should just say Torah. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. That's right. He should just say Torah. So apparently, this is an area of thought that a philosopher, that a person rationally could arrive at this knowledge, right? So right. So lefi atar means that it means secondhand knowledge. In other words, what he means is that through primary knowledge, through a person who arrives at the truth through understanding, or a person who has the premises from Sinai, who has that knowledge from secondhand knowledge. Okay, but he doesn't. He doesn't have the. He doesn't know the idea behind it, but he knows the fact. Okay, so it's a fact. He's saying it's a fact that exists in Torah that we know that a person can know through secondhand knowledge, and it's not only a fact in Torah, but a person could work it out on his own. Okay, a person could arrive at the truth on his own. Now, it's just a true thing, and therefore, a person can arrive at it. Okay, so through either method, it is known that the malachim have enjoyment. Okay, so now, so what's he saying? He's saying the malachim, okay, have a great enjoyment. Okay, and it's not proper to say that they don't have enjoyment. Okay, so how does he know that the malachim? What's the idea that the malachim have a greater enjoyment than us?
Maybe because they're not bound by the physical, so they can partake of that. Whatever the enjoyment is, so much more.
I'm sorry?
Because they're not bound by the physical.
Right.
So they can partake of that area of enjoyment.
Right, okay, good. Okay, so one, that's right. So Yehoshua Nechemiah says that, because that's like what the Rambam mentioned before, that their enjoyment is infinite. They're not bound by the physical, so they're not limited by time. So they're able to have the enjoyment infinitely, whereas we are limited by time. Right, so in a quantitative sense, their enjoyment is much superior. They have an infinite enjoyment, we have a finite one.
But
yeah.
I was just saying in terms of time, I was saying in terms of even if you took us and them at the same amount of time, if that were possible, then an enjoyment of that moment would be greater for them than for us because they partake more of that category of enjoyment. So 1 second, as if, of enjoyment for them would be a lot greater than 1 second of enjoyment for us.
Okay, what is that? What do you mean? Yeah.
You were just saying that it's a quantity thing, like it's just basically because they're not bound by time.
Well, I'm saying that's one factor is, like the Rambam said before, that their enjoyment is infinite.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's one factor in it, that it's a greater enjoyment because it's infinite.
Uh-huh.
It lasts longer.
And is there any other ones?
Well, that's what I'm asking you.
Oh, that's what you're asking.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, but I mean, I think what Yushin Akonyo was saying was kind of right, that, like you were saying before, all of our enjoyment is just, we always have to relate back here, we always have to relate to it in the physical.
Right.
But the Malachim, they don't have any physical components, so they could just have pure enjoyment, they don't have to relate to the physical, they could just take whatever enjoyment that we would have that would always be have to trace back to the physical, and they just enjoy it by itself.
Right, but maybe the physical gives it a greater dimension. Maybe that's a greater enjoyment. In other words, if a person partakes of the physical, maybe that enjoyment is greater. And when you lose the physical, you're losing that dimension of the enjoyment. How do you know it goes the reverse? How do you know that when you lose the physical, the dimension of enjoyment is increased? Maybe it's decreased. Right? Well,
isn't that because the kind of enjoyment we're talking about is an intellectual enjoyment, so the malachim who don't have any physical components, they're just separate intellects, they would be able to enjoy that kind of enjoyment the most, because they're not related to the physical.
Yeah, but we don't have intellectual enjoyment. Our psychological / whatever, quote unquote intellectual, are greater than theirs.
What? Say again?
We don't think. I mean, we don't have intellectual enjoyment. Like, how do you mean by them? We only have our psychological enjoyment, really. So you might be able to say still that our psychological enjoyment of thinking is greater than just whatever, more than intellectual ability.
Because a psychological enjoyment is still, that's not the same as just enjoying the ideas themselves. That's also relating to it through the physical. But the kind of enjoyment that we're talking about is an intellectual enjoyment. So the being that's most removed from the physical is more attached to the intellectual is going to be able to enjoy more.
Okay. Yeah.
Is it perhaps that because the physical is bounded?
Yeah.
But metaphysical, well, is also bounded, but it's less bounded. You have more possibility there,
right?
As opposed to the physical.
Okay, one second. But so let me just see what you're saying. So you're saying that the enjoyment of the ideas is going to be greater because you'll be less involved in the physical. You'll be more involved in the idea.
But you saw the same question that maybe the physical enjoyment is good.
Right, but he's saying that the enjoyment is of the ideas. So therefore, the more that the person is related to the ideas, the more enjoyment he's going to get. The physical is going to take away from his enjoyment. The fact that he's distracted by the physical removes his enjoyment.
Meaning, why can't you just say the opposite? The fact that he's drawn to the intellectual takes away from the physical pleasure.
No, but we're saying it's an intellectual, it's an enjoyment of the intellectual. Let me ask you a different... Let's start from a more basic point, okay? Somebody asked before, what is enjoyment? All right, so maybe we should explain that a little, and then we can have a better understanding of what the Rambam's saying. I mean, what in a general sense causes the experience of enjoyment? What brings about enjoyment in a being? Now, as if you were to explain what brings about enjoyment in a being in a general sense, not in a particular saying, not by denoting particular objects, not by saying, well, food could bring about enjoyment, sex could bring about enjoyment, right? Without referring to particular objects, what would you say in a universal sense is the thing that brings about enjoyment in a being?
Stimulation of
your senses, of whatever sense it happens to be?
Well, stimulation could be good or bad, right? Stimulation could be a person, I'm not sure, right? Stimulation, person, right. You hit a person, that's stimulation also.
So you say living in line with its purpose?
Okay.
You mean it's obvious, it's created to do a certain thing.
Right.
For a certain reason, and if you fulfill that purpose, that'll mean obviously that's the best thing, so that'll lead to pleasure.
Okay, good. In other words... Yeah, again.
It's not defining what it is.
What's that?
It's not defining exactly what it is. It's when it happens.
Well, yeah. In other words, what you're saying is pleasure is brought about by a thing fulfilling its function, right? In other words, when a thing has a certain function and it fulfills that function, then it gets enjoyment, right? And when you thwart that function, the being will be unhappy. In other words, it's the function of, let's say, a monkey to exist in a certain way, to swing on trees and eat bananas. When it's in that environment and it functions in that way, what's going on? Right? And it functions in that way, it's going to be happy. Now, if you take away that environment, it can't function the way it was built, then it'll be pain. Then it'll be involved in pain. It'll be unhappy. Right? Correct? So to a man, if you know his exact function, right, and you can have the being live in the way which it was designed to function, then it will experience enjoyment. And if you thwart that function, it's going to be unhappy. Right? That would seem to be the basic idea of enjoyment and unhappiness. What's going on?
Yeah, whoever's outside, turn on your mute button.
I'm
outside. Alright, turn on your mute button.
Just on that, would you say that a car gets enjoyment or a tree gets enjoyment?
Say that again?
Based on that, would you say that a car gets enjoyment when it's in line with its function?
A car?
Yeah, a car or a tree.
No, I wouldn't say that a car gets enjoyment. You mean you're saying, according to what I'm saying, it should?
Yeah.
Okay, well, the thing is that enjoyment is built on the premise that the being has an awareness, has a sense. You see, without a sense, if it's inanimate, it can't be enjoyment, because enjoyment is sensing a certain thing. There's a certain awareness. Okay, so without, let's just use the term consciousness in a loose sense, without that function of consciousness, you can't speak of enjoyment. Okay? You can't speak of the idea of enjoyment without consciousness. If you have a being that's unconscious, there can't be enjoyment, because an enjoyment is a certain state of the conscious. Okay? It's a certain state of the conscious. But our question, right? So therefore, an inanimate thing, that's it. Can't have an enjoyment. But our question is, what state of the conscious is... What's responsible for that state of the conscious? And what is responsible for the opposing state? That's what we're trying to understand. You see? So that's what we're saying. That what's responsible for that state of the conscious, called enjoyment, is when the thing is in line with its function. Then it experiences that state of consciousness. Okay, when it goes against, when it opposes its function, then it experiences the opposite state of consciousness, which is called pain. Okay? Does this mean nobody's...
Is unhappiness and happiness interchangeable with pain and pleasure? What do you think?
Well, you know, that's... Okay, we don't have to go into that. I'm just using the terms loosely. Right? I'm using the terms loosely. Enjoyment is the state of the mind where the person conforms to his function, okay? And pain or unhappiness is the state of the mind where he opposes his function, okay? So that would seem to be a very good definition, all right? Right? Okay. So therefore, every being will experience pleasure in that way, right? Now, the thing is like this. The thing is like this, that a being that is a limited being, let's say you have a thing that exists for 5 minutes, these flies that exist, they come into existence and they last for 3 minutes, right? So a being that's a limited being has a limited reality. The reality of that being is limited, Okay? If its existence is limited, then it has a limited reality. Okay? Like we say God, right? We say, what's the ultimate reality? If a person wants to know reality, then he has to know God. That's the knowledge of God is the ultimate reality, because God is unlimited in his existence. Okay, but if I know a thing that exists in a very limited way, so then I know very little about reality. Right? Isn't that true? Okay? So therefore, a person that wants to know about reality, he wants to know about things that are real, meaning that their existence is unlimited. Okay? But a thing that is has a very limited existence, it partakes of reality to a much limited extent. Okay? So now the thing is like this. According to our definition, that reality is when a thing fulfills its existence, it fulfills its nature.
Enjoyment.
I'm sorry, what did I say? Existence? Reality. That enjoyment means when you have a thing that fulfills its existence, right? So then the thing is, a thing that has a greater existence must have a greater enjoyment. Right? In other words, if I have a thing whose reality, whose existence is very limited, so then the fulfillment of that will be very limited. Okay? Whereas if I have a thing whose existence is greater, who has real existence, partakes of existence to a greater degree, so then when I fulfill, when that thing fulfills its function, that has to be a much greater fulfillment. Right? And since enjoyment comes from the fulfillment of the entity, when the entity reaches fulfillment, so a greater entity has to have a greater enjoyment. In other words, when a cow is chewing on grass, it's fulfilling its reality, its existence. But its existence is very limited. And when a man comprehends knowledge, he is going to have a much greater enjoyment, because he partakes of something real. That real thing is going to be a much greater enjoyment, okay, than a limited object.
We have an animal part as well.
That's right. So therefore, man has two parts. He has a part that is very limited, and then he has an unlimited part. Okay? Now, which part of man will partake of a greater enjoyment? That part which is more real. So when he fulfills that part of his nature, that is a more real part of his nature, he's going to have, and enjoyment is the fulfillment of that, he's going to have much greater enjoyment. Right? So now a malach, who is pure, who is an unlimited existence, he has to have a much greater enjoyment than an existence that's limited. That's why the Rambam says it has to be that a malach whose existence is eternal and real has to have a greater fulfillment than an object whose very existence is limited. Right? What do you say? I mean, because we're defining existence as being when the thing's reality is fulfilled.
The one thing I want to clear about is you're classifying the non-animal part of man as reality, but not the animal part.
He partakes, yes. Well, you see, he has a part of him that's eternal. He's partially in that world.
I'm saying, but the animal part is real as well.
What's that?
The animal part is real as well.
The part of man that's physical?
Yeah.
The physical part of man is limited in that respect, right? In other words, if you have an existence that exists for a limited amount of time, and then you have an existence that's unlimited, right? So the unlimited existence has a greater reality than the limited thing.
Why?
Why? Because reality means insofar as a thing exists, right? Now, if you have two existences and one partakes of existence to a limited extent, the thing exists for 2 minutes, right? So the way it partakes of existence is limited. Whereas if you have a thing that's eternal, it means its tie to existence is eternal. That has to be a greater existence than a thing that exists for 2 minutes. Now, if a person wants to study the world, no reality, right? What is he going to want to know? A thing that is in existence for 2 minutes, study that thing and understand it fully? He's going to know very little about reality, because that's a thing that disappears. You see? But if he wants to know reality, he wants to know what exists. what exists intrinsically, what has unlimited existence, is a greater knowledge of reality than a thing that has a very limited existence. Isn't that true? A person wants to know. That's why, if you want to understand the ultimate reality, that's why we call God the ultimate reality, because His existence is totally unlimited. So He is pure, He's the source of reality, because His existence is unlimited. But if you have a thing that's existence is very limited, okay, that is not going to partake of reality to the same degree as another object. Yeah.
I'm just kind of confused about the you use the example of the fly.
Yeah.
I don't think it can be just like a quantitative difference between, let's say, like man, you know, one man lives for 10
right.
minutes and another man lives right. for 5 hours.
Right. It's
I'm
not
saying,
right.
I'm just, so yeah. So I'm saying it has to be like that.
I'm giving an example.
Like a totally
different kind.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm just giving an example. Right?
Yeah.
But it means to say, it doesn't mean if one thing lives for 2 minutes, one thing lives for 10 years.
Yeah.
Right? But it means to say that
it's just a totally different quality.
It's a totally qualitative,
yeah.
right, qualitatively different existence.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. That's right. It's not how many hours the thing lives, but
yeah.
I'm giving an example that if a thing lives a minute amount of time, it means its existence is extremely limited.
Mm-hmm.
It partakes of reality to a very minute degree. Uh-huh. Okay?
Why can't you say that? That one particular packet of moment, it partakes of the same reality.
No, because the thing is like this: why does the thing only exist for one packet of reality of moment? Why does it only exist for one second? If the thing is so tied in to existence, why does it exist for 1 second? Isn't that an indication of how significant this being is, or insignificant? In other words, if a thing is tied closely to existence, then it's eternal. That's what makes it eternal.
Yes.
It's not just there's somebody pushing a button making the thing eternal. It's eternal because it belongs here. You know what I mean? That's why we say with man, you know, we thank God that we exist, right? Because we don't belong here intrinsically. We're only here because of an event, right? So that means that your existence, your reality is very small. The fact that you exist is not an intrinsic thing. You don't belong here. You're only here because of a certain event, right? But a thing that is eternal has a greater claim on existence. Okay, the limitation is less. Okay, of course everything is its existence is caused by God. So in that sense, there is no object that is the underlying reality. Every object that exists only, it doesn't belong here necessarily. It exists because of God's will. You know what I mean? So that's a limitation in the existence of everything aside from God. Okay, but if you want to compare things, you'll say that there are certain things that have a greater, that partake of existence to a greater extent. You're not going to say an ant that lives for 1 second partakes of existence in the same sense that a malach, right? Oh, so that's the idea. So that's what the Rambam is saying. That since if you explain that enjoyment is a result of a thing fulfilling its existence, so a greater existence will have a greater enjoyment.
Can we know at all, in any way, what the enjoyment of the malacham is?
What's that? What the enjoyment of malach is? Yeah, now we explained it. The enjoyment of malach is, insofar as it fulfills its existence, its function.
I'm saying like we get a psychological feeling of enjoyment when we fulfill our purpose.
That's right.
But when they come and fulfill theirs, they're not getting any psychological enjoyment.
Right, okay.
So is there any way we can know the enjoyment that they partake in? Or are we too removed from that because we're in the physical?
Well, 1 second. Let's just explain. In other words, when a person has psychological, let's just say physical enjoyment, okay? A person gets a physical enjoyment of eating food, right? So that means that his makeup is such that the food satisfies a certain need in his structure, okay? It satisfies a certain function. He's built in a certain way to function to have a caloric intake, right? And when he does that, when he fulfills that function, then he gets an enjoyment. Right? So everything gets the enjoyment from fulfilling a certain function. Okay? Correct? But I have a certain enjoyment from that. Now, when I get it, when I have a different kind of enjoyment, that's a different kind of enjoyment. But it still is based on the same guidelines. If I have a psychological enjoyment, it's because my mind is built in a certain way, right? That a person strives after certain kinds certain kinds of activities, right? And when he does those activities, right, when he brings to mind certain ideas, the mind gets an enjoyment, right? And the same thing with a malach. A malach's nature is to comprehend reality, okay? And it is constantly involved in the comprehension of reality, okay? When it does that, it's going to have a great enjoyment, right? Now, what does that enjoyment feel like? That we can't know, right? But we can know that it's an enjoyment just like we're getting, insofar as it's fulfilling a certain function of the malach.
Okay.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
But since that function is more, partakes of reality, is more significant, the enjoyment has to be greater. Okay? Yeah. Okay, so you really have two. You really have two aspects. Now, insofar, let me think about that. I just want to think a little more. Let me get back to you on that, because that sounds like a good idea. In other words, that's also a element that insofar as the enjoyment of an idea is concerned, the physical is really a barrier. And therefore, to fully enjoy that idea, you have to be removed from the physical. Let me just think about that. But
That's a different thing. From what you're saying.
Yeah, that's a different thing. But I just I'll get back to you on that, because it sounds, I mean, it's definitely true. There's a true idea there. Okay. So I mean, all right. Okay. Okay.
Can you explain what's happening when we're involved in trying to perceive reality and the mind is engaged, how that's working and how that's different than malachim?
Not really. I mean, because there's big difficulty there, because it's the mind, but it's going through the body. You know what I mean? So is it, the only thing we could say is that it's the mind. The mind is operating, okay, but it needs the function of the body. And once the body is involved, then the enjoyment exists in that realm. Once the body is functioning, the body meaning the psyche, okay, once that part of man is functioning, then that is where that's what he experiences, okay? I mean, that's the most we could really say, because the person has a part of him that's non-physical, but that part is contingent on the body, and everything that the person experiences must come through the body. Okay, so the body sort of overarches everything and eclipses the experience that the person could have. Okay, but as long as he exists in this world, it has to go through his senses. Okay, so just like ideas have to come through the senses, the enjoyment is always through the senses. Okay? So you could ask me a question. How is it that the mind, that the soul works without the body? I mean, that, you know, I don't know. You know, we don't really know that much. I mean, but we do know that somehow it operates through the body. And that's what the Rambam says. Just like it operates in terms of acquiring knowledge through the body, the enjoyment is also must come through the body. You can't have a pure enjoyment of the soul. It's impossible, because then that would mean the soul is separate from the body. That it could operate separately. It can't operate separately.
The soul can't operate separately from the
body? No, it can't operate separately.
You mean in this world?
Yeah, in this world. Right? And as you want to explain to a person a new idea, you have to show them some kind of example. Explain to a kid the idea of a number without any... Right? That's why a person who doesn't have certain faculties can't really go far in terms of knowledge. Like a person is blind... Right, deaf and dumb, they can't get knowledge, because the access to knowledge has to come through certain the senses. The person sees the thing, he starts analyzing, he gathers the facts, sees the phenomena, right? He needs the senses. Without the senses, it's very difficult. Okay, that's why when you get to what becomes difficult for the mind to perceive, when the senses, there's no corroboration, something is totally abstract, that becomes extremely difficult for the mind to perceive because there's nothing to corroborate with the senses. Right? That's why we say with God, we cannot have positive knowledge of God. The only thing we could say, any idea we have of God is always negative. Right? Because a positive idea would involve the senses. If I say God is one, right? So in my mind, what's one? Oh, I have an idea of one bookshelf, one apple, one, right? Every idea that is corresponds to that idea is a physical, every image that corresponds is a physical representation. So therefore, that's why when we say God is one, we have to think that we mean he's not many. Now his idea of one is simply he's not many. But a positive idea of one you can't have. Because once you have a positive idea, that means that you're involved in some kind of imaging, right? You're using some kind of image in your mind to relate to God. That's, you know, that's exactly what you're not allowed to do. That's the idea of Vodazara. That a person that can't operate without the image, that's a Vodazara. Okay, so with regard to God, you have to operate just with a pure idea. How could man do that? Only through negative knowledge. Okay, but positive, in a positive way, he can't know the idea, because then he's going to need the senses. That he can't do. Alright? So any function of the soul always involves the senses. In this world. Right? So since that's true, that's why any enjoyment comes through the senses. I mean, it's just, that's the way it is. I mean, that's as far as I could explain it.
So when a person hears an idea and there's he recognizes its truth, so he has that pleasure, what's going on in his physical body that is experiencing pleasure?
Whatever goes on normally. Right? And as that we explained, we said that the Rambam says if a person is involved in chait, he has to get involved in learning, right? Because Ram says that the chait is the chait does not exist in the mind; it only exists in an empty mind. A person that's empty-headed, but a person that's filled with chachma, there's no chait. He's not drawn to chait, right? So that we explain because it's the same enjoyment, the same emotional drive for the taivas is used for the chachma. So it's a physical enjoyment. So the same thing that a person gets when he engages in a kind of taiva, that's the same energy that he's using for the mind. So whatever mechanism the energy uses, right, for the emotions, it's the same energy for the mind. That's what he's enjoying. He's enjoying that energy.
It's the same energy, but how does that mean that the pleasure is exactly the same?
Well, it's the same, because that's what pleasure is. Pleasure is the satisfaction of energy. Okay, that's the definition of pleasure, the satisfaction of energy. When energy is not, when a person's function, his drive is thwarted, he's in pain. When it's satisfied, that's the enjoyment. That's the enjoyment he gets when he satisfies that energy. Okay, it's the same thing. That's enjoyment. Satisfaction of where he's in line with his function, where he fulfills the thing that he's driving for, he fulfills that, that's when he gets his pleasure. Okay, and when he thwarts that, he gets pain. Okay?
Yeah. Can you just go over the argument of why it should be that a greater existence is going to have greater enjoyment?
The greater existence has to be greater enjoyment? No, because that follows from the way we defined enjoyment. Enjoyment means where the person fulfills his nature. Right? Now, if the person has a greater nature, there has to be a greater fulfillment of that nature.
If the nature is greater, there has to be greater fulfillment.
Yeah, the fulfillment has to be greater. What's that?
What is that?
I mean, doesn't that follow? In other words, if you have an existence that has a very limited existence, and now you fulfill the nature of that existence, that has to be a limited fulfillment. Right? Where if you have an existence that's a greater existence, and now I fulfill that thing, that has to be greater fulfillment. That's a real fulfillment. And it's just like the object, we say, oh, that's an underlying reality, right? So then when the thing is fulfilled, that's a real fulfillment. Whereas if you have a thing whose existence is limited, and you say that object doesn't partake of existence, partakes of existence to a very limited extent. So when the things, nature is fulfilled, the fulfillment has to be limited. Right? It can't be greater than the thing itself.
Right.
I think about it. I mean, you know, it's... But I think that it makes sense. If right? It makes sense. Basically, you have to just... Based on the way we're explaining enjoyment. You know, people look at enjoyment like it's... They're looking at the experience, but what really brings about the enjoyment is the fulfillment of the object. Okay, so that's why we're saying if it's a greater object, the fulfillment is greater. It's a fulfillment in reality. It's like, I mean, this is not a good example, but just as a mashal, if a person enjoys a real thing, he gets a greater enjoyment than when a person enjoys something, an image, a substitute. You know, like an image in the mind of that thing. Because he knows that's not real. You know what I mean? So the enjoyment is limited because the object that he's enjoying is limited. But if the object that he's enjoying is real, he goes, oh, that's the thing. You see, then the enjoyment's much greater. That's why the person always wants that thing. He wants the real thing. Because that's what a person's looking for. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So couldn't you say, though, that, let's say with man, since there's two aspects to him, so he's going to be in conflict, whereas an animal can just devote all of its energies into, into the fulfillment of its nature.
That's
but
right.
But man, it's split.
That's right, it's split. That's right, it's exactly right. So therefore, the animal... That's right, it is split. That's why the man is much lower than the malach, because the malach is not split. But certainly the man is better than the animal, because the animal only has the less. You know what I mean? Right? You're in a better position. It depends what you split between. If you split between less and worse, yeah, then it's bad. But if you split between less and better, right? So then you're in a better position than the person that only has less. Right? It's like people have conflicts in life, right? And you say to them, would you rather not have this conflict? You know, a person, when it comes time to paying taxes, people are very upset. So, you know, my wife always says, well, what's the alternative? You don't have to pay tax? Then you have nothing to complain. You know, then you're really in bad shape. So, you know, sometimes a conflict is an indication that there's something worth being conflicted over. You know, it's an indication of being in a good state. So of course you'd rather not. You'd rather have not the lower part, but right. But you're still better off than the being that only has the lower part. Alrighty. Okay, so we're on for next week.
It depends. Jonah might never be gone.